Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for what it is that you've placed in my heart. I praise you for how you're going to move this morning. I praise you, Lord, how you're going to teach us. Your word says that we will all be taught by you. Fill with your Holy Spirit, Lord. We are taught by you. We are listening to you, Lord. We are listening to your words, Lord. We thank you for speaking. We thank you that you are always speaking to us, Lord, and we thank you that you hear us when we cry out to you. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Psalm chapter 63, starting in verse 1, says, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, thus I have seen you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. I'm going to say that again, verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. It ain't all about what we see. It's not about how we feel. It's not about what we think and our preferences. The cause of praise, the reason for praise, is because of his loving kindness. As I was sharing with my kids, I reminded them, we have cause, we have reason to praise God, to give him all the thanks, all the honor, all the glory, because he died for us. Jesus died for you. He poured out all of his blood and he said, I want you. And because sin is separating you from me, I'm going to take care of sin once and for all. And by the blood of Jesus, you are now washed if you accept him into your heart with your words, Jesus, I accept you as Lord and Savior. When you accept him, you are washed in his blood. You are made whiter than snow, and you are now right with God. And if you don't have that today, we want you to leave here, this place, we want you to leave with that certainty that I am in the Lord's hands, washed by his blood, made clean, and when I breathe my last breath, I will spend eternity with him in heaven. Amen? Verse 4. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Man, some people, including me, when I was raised in church, they didn't let us raise our hands, but this verse says that I can, and so I will. I will lift up my hands to your name. I'm like a little child reaching for my father. I will lift up my hands in your name. Verse 5, my soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. Now, y'all listen, some people in here love barbecue. There's some of us in here, we like it a little bit differently. I would prefer mine not to still be mooing, but some of you, you know, y'all are weird, okay? But my soul is satisfied. So just as we're satisfied in the natural with food and drink, our souls have a deep craving, and the only thing that can satisfy our soul's hunger is Jesus. It's relationship. It's oneness with him. And if you don't experience that today and you are in his name, let us pray for you, because you need to leave experiencing the satisfaction of being one with him and moving forward in that. Amen? Verse 6. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Some of us have forgotten to meditate. We wake up and we think, oh, it's heartburn, or oh, it's this, or oh, it's that. No, it's probably the Lord saying, it's time to get up and it's time to pray. It's time to be aware. It's time to be watchful. It's time to be on guard. I got more on that, but we'll just let it simmer for a minute. Verse 7, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. In the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. Because my soul clings to you, and your right hand upholds me. I titled this message today, Crave. Because all of us in here are craving something. Man, I talk to people all day long, and the things that come out of their mouth on what they crave is evidenced by all they talk about. What your mind is fixed on, what you choose to tell me, what you choose to allow your joy and your excitement to come out on, that's most likely the thing that you crave or the thing that you've been craving. Is it an object? Is it food? Is it a person? Is it a little bit of everything? What do you spend your time with? That's a great indicator of what it is that you crave. And I'm here to tell you, as I said a second ago, the only thing that is going to fill the void in your chest is Jesus. We were made for him. We were made to glorify him, to worship him. And so I'm going to have to be real with you, church. And I hope all of you know that I love you very, very much. But it breaks my heart when we can't praise and worship God. When we can't stand and sing. When we can't lift up our voices. When we can't dance. Whoever told you that you cannot dance in church, well, I'm here to tell you that they're wrong. If you are filled with the Spirit of the Lord and you have his joy come on you, man, dance. When they were singing that song, get up out of that grave, guess what? I'm getting up out of that grave because I'm not staying down any longer. I have a reason to be thankful. I have a reason for joy. And I lived far too long without expressing the joy that I have in him. And I won't do that anymore. And one of the reasons why I'm making, I guess, a point on this is that there is always someone watching you. And let me just clarify this. You're not doing it simply for the fact that they're watching you. You're doing it to glorify your Father in heaven. But there is a value and importance when somebody sees you worshiping in the midst of your trials or tribulation or pain or chaos or whatever, that gives them hope to do it too. But if they see you in your pain, tribulation, trial, sadness, not worshiping, guess what? Well, they're not worshiping, so I guess I won't either. But is there a God who is alive? Is there a God who dwells in the inside of you? Is there a God that poured out his blood and bought you and said, I'm going to seal you, I'm going to stamp you with my Holy Spirit, and guess what? I expect to come back and take you unto myself because I've gone to prepare a place for you. Did he not say that? So if he's coming back for you, how have you handled the thing that he's entrusted into your hands? Are you like the one that received the talent and said, well, because I knew you were a hard man and you didn't work for the things that you entrusted to me, that I just stuffed it into the ground and here it is, here is your talent that you've placed in my hand. And what was the word that the master said to that servant? You wicked servant. I promise you this day that there is nothing that you want to hear out of your master, Jesus Christ's mouth, like you wicked servant. I don't want to hear it. Not sure about anybody in here want to hear that from Jesus. I personally don't. I don't think you do either. And so I know this is kind of like Pastor Chris coming out with the uppercuts right as we start the service, but I need to encourage you. My job is to encourage you to get yourself before the Lord. Don't wait on me. Don't wait on the worship team. Don't wait on anything else that is circumstantial, that is waiting on someone else to do something. You do something. Because the person that's going to have to answer the Lord God Almighty on the end of days at his great white throne judgment is, what did you do with what I gave you? He's not going to say, hey, Chris, what did John do with what you gave him? I'm going to be like, I don't know, Lord. No, he's going to say, Chris, what did you do with what I gave you? And he's going to say, John, what did you do with what I gave you? And Candace, what did you do with what I gave you? And then us as leaders, us as teachers, us as pastors, us as any other kind of leadership, title, position, whatever, are going to be judged harshly because they're going to say, hey, that person, that sheep that I love, that we sang about this morning, that I left 99 for and it seemed crazy to everybody else, but I went after them. Hey, Chris, what did you do with the sheep that I put in your care? Did you give them the hard stuff? The stuff that was easy to consume and made us all feel good and you know, we were just hooping and hollering? Or did you give them the hard stuff too? Did you tell them that I'm not happy with the way that we're doing this? Did you tell them that things need to change and we need to get back on course? We need a course correct. We need to adjust. And if that means stopping something that we love and cherish, that means stopping something that we love and cherish for that which is better. And I know this doesn't light everybody up. And you're like, man, I could go anywhere else. Well, you could. But I want to give you what he says to give you. I want to guide you where he says to go. And ultimately, all I can do is guide you. But when it comes to the Lord asking me, Chris, did you do what I said to do? I want to be able to look at my king and I want to say, yes, sir, I did. And newsflash, he already knows your heart anyway. So you're not going to hide or fake it in front of him. He's going to know. So I'm asking you again, church, what do you crave? We've been in a series where we're talking about hearing the voice of God. And as we shared in our vision meeting last week, and I hope that was okay, as I've been talking with the team, as I've been talking with Foursquare, business stuff is good, but if all church is business stuff and there's no life, there's no spirit, there's no direction, there's no power behind it, man, I don't want none of that. So I said, hey, can we share some vision? Can we talk about what Holy Spirit's doing, what he wants to do? They're like, please do. Go for it. Go nuts. So that's what we did. And so we're going to be talking more about what's on the back of my little screen here, if you weren't there, abiding, thriving, and multiplying. That's found in John 15, 5 through 8. And then I need to share for those of you that are new and you've never been in church and, you know, you're like, whoa, what's this? And who are you guys? And what are the stuff on the walls and all this other stuff? It's so much. We are not called, and this is to sum up everything the Lord's been telling me. We are not called to be a traditional church. We're not called to be a church that emerged out of COVID. COVID is over. He didn't want us to stay there. He didn't want us to look like those type of churches. That was something to wake us up, is what he said to me most recently. He said, that was to wake you up, but it was not to stay there. And so similar to the people that as they crossed into the land and they set up memorial stones in different places, he didn't want them to stay there. He wanted them to remember. He wanted them to grow. He wanted them to see what he was doing. But often people would go back to those places and expect God to move. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm here. You went back here. And so God's saying, hey, that time, that pandemic time, woke the church up, and now I'm calling it to step into a new wineskin, which means the old wineskin is not sufficient to carry what I'm about to pour out. And so we have to shift. We have to change. And one of the highlights that he said for us specifically, and you'll notice out on the sign, we talked about this years ago, but if you notice on the sign, it does not say Abide Church. It says Abide. And so what that means to me and why you hear the language that Pastor Chris uses is not Abide Church. Yes, we function or have been functioning like a church. But because we are not a church, we are an equipping center. People will come from all over. And the Lord has told me this. The Lord has shown Pastor Glenn this. He's shown many of us this. But people will come from all over. They will step foot in these doors. They will be loved just as if they're meeting Jesus himself. They'll be guided according to his word in right doctrine, right truth, by a multitude of teachers. And shockingly enough, that as we're saying similar things and not divided amongst ourselves, we'll teach them, raise them up, and guess what? Most important thing, fulfill the Great Commission by sending them out. And so a traditional church gathers people and keeps them there forever. So part of our stretching is to not call this the traditional church. So I'm just flipping the language on you a little bit. We are a ministry center. We are a training center. Or even if you want to get real bold and brave, we are an apostolic center. And that means we're pioneering something. We're doing something brand new that no one's done before. And so what that usually means is we're going to try some things and they're going to fail miserably. But then we're going to try other things and they're going to soar, right? Because he wants us to learn from the things that work out and the things that do not. He's taking us on a journey. And so that is the quick nutshell version of what we shared last week. And I encourage you, guys, will you do me a favor? I did not talk to you about this. There's a slide, I think it's the second slide after the announcements, that says, has a QR code. Will you put that one up for me? Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. So if you want to stay updated and things are being added all of the time, events, purpose and values, things that we discussed last week are being added to our website, and so things are changing, ministries are transforming, and so I took a little bit of time here because if you want to get connected and you want to know what's going on, you need to pull out your phone and you need to open up the camera, you need to hover over that so you can click a link and then download that app. The other thing that's going to happen here, and we'll talk more about this next week, but as we start training people for the positions of teachers and you know, worship ministers and all of this, there's a group chat in each of these little areas for prayer or whatever it is, and this is how we're going to talk to you. And so it's a very easy way that if you're not the type that wants to give out your phone number, that's great and fine, but we want to make sure that you're in the loop, you know what's going on, and you're able to talk to somebody about it. So download the app. It's the first link once you scan that, and that will make sure that you are connected with us. The other thing that link does, while they still have it up, is what I'm going to share today in terms of Bible study tools and all of that are all going to be in that link there. And so what I'm going to talk about is going to be connected to that. So make sure you grab that link or go to the website, abideokc.com. All right, guys, you can clear that one. Thank you so much. All right, so as I said, we're talking about hearing the voice of the Lord today. And I've broken this up into three parts. We're probably going to do parts 2 and 3 in the coming weeks. And so today, I wanted to focus specifically upon hearing God through the studying of the Word. Hearing God through the study of the Word. That's the Bible. Also today, if you noticed in my first scripture, I've got the New American Standard Bible today. And so that's what I'm reading out of if you want to follow along in your app, the NASB Bible today. And I'm proving a point. There's some things that I've heard in my time growing up with Bible versions and what's the right version, what's not the right version, and all that sort of mess. And I just want to kind of clear that up with the Lord today. So we're going to talk about studying the Word of God. Guys, in the presentation, I have a thing that's called slides. Will you pull I believe it's the first slide up for me? I want to show you something. This is from Mardell, and I love the fact that they put it together, but it's kind of a long picture, guys. But it's the Bible version kind of timeline, if you will. Give them just a minute. I will have this in my notes if they're not able to put it up there. But I wanted to show you something as we're going to be talking about Bible versions today, really initially off here. In this chart that they're working on, there are it's basically a timeline. So if you've ever been in school and you've seen a timeline where you know you've got you know top side, bottom side of the line, we're talking about a word for word literal translation. And then on the right side is something that's called a thought-for-thought translation. Yeah, thank you, guys. So leave that up there just for a second. And so on the furthest left side, they're taking what was in Hebrew or Greek, word for word, and the interlinear, if you've had any of these Bibles, they're no less than that thick. They might even be more. I have a few of them myself. And they have the original language written, whether it's right to left or whatever, as well as the direct word for word translation of whatever that is into your language. So in this case, I'm talking about English. And then you start going towards the right. And we're going to talk about this just a little bit today, but I wanted you to have a visual. Like I said, I'll have this on my notes, so it's not going to be as small on the screen here. But you've got the NASB, which is what I'm reading out of today. You've got the Amplified, which many of you have, or I know that you read regularly. We have the ESV, which I read out of last week. We have good old King James that most of us are familiar with. We have New King James, the New English Translation, and we have the Christian Standard Bible right there towards the middle, NRSV, NIV, which is what I typically teach out of, the ICB, NLT, which I know many of us like and use, the New International Reader's Version, there's the Passion, which we've taught out of before, and then the Message. And so you see it go from word to word to thought for thought. Now, there's some additional language down below. I'm not going to focus on them too much, but when translating, what you often get from people, especially the ones that, no offense to any of you out here, but are conspiracy theorists, and they're like, man, there's always something going on. There's always an agenda, right? Well, there may be, but in this case, there's not, because I think God is capable of containing the authenticity and protecting his word. And I am very, very certain that God is just happy that you're reading a Bible, regardless of what translation it is. But here's what you often get from people who I believe mean well, but they've kind of gone off the deep end. They say, well, hey, Pastor Chris, what about these Bibles that, quote unquote, cut out specific verses of the Bible? Well, I'm glad that you asked, person. Let's talk about that today. So this is called, and I pulled up an article for this that I'm happy to share in my notes as well. This is called textual criticism. And I want to give you an example. So if you were reading the book of Isaiah, and you were reading chapter 19, verse 16, here's what the verse would start to say in the language. In that day, the Egyptians, they're all agreed on this, but here's four different versions. First up is NASB. In that day, the Egyptians will become like women. New Living says, in that day, the Egyptians will be weak as women. The New International says, in that day, the Egyptians will become weaklings. And the Message, save the best for last. In that day, the Egyptians will be like hysterical schoolgirls. And so what they're trying to do is convey a thought, but they're trying to do it in a way where they have to agree as the community that is translating the language and trying to strike a balance between, man, we want to get this word for word as much as we can, but we also have to be able to have people read the Bible and understand what it's talking about. So you have two ways to look at it. Do you want to read the Bible and it be perfectly accurate but have no clue what it means? Or do you want to strike a balance somewhere where, okay, I not only can read it, but I understand what it says? That's what we're talking about. And so each of these groups spent time in prayer, spent time discussing together, spent time reviewing the material, the Greek and the Hebrew, and each of the different materials that they have found to try to become as true as possible to the original translation, and then they have to draw a line. And so just in this example, I think some of the ladies in here might be offended if we say in that day the Egyptians will be like women. Well, what do you mean like women? What are you saying, Chris? Well, the next couple ones said, we'll either be as weak as women, or then the NIV like dodged it entirely and just, you're going to be a weakling, right? That sounds better for the audience, right? You know, we're not offending anybody in the process. We get it. We know what a weakling is, okay? It doesn't have to be ascribed to a guy or a gal. Are you with me? Okay. So that's why When I see Bible versions all around and I read them, if you take time to, I know Pastor Glenn does this, we talk about this all the time, but if you take time to read out of your translation that you like, let's say it's King James, but then you break out another, I don't know, one or two different Bibles next to it, Software makes it easy to do that, but if you're the physical kind of person, you have your desk kind of laid out and you got different translations all over, you'll find that in the process of truly studying Scripture, the one that says it different, well, it's like, whoa, I didn't see that before. That makes a lot of sense. Now the context in my favorite translation makes a ton of sense. Now I get it, right? And so I encourage you, first and foremost, read your Bible, whatever version it is. But it's probably not a bad idea every now and then to check out another version that you're not used to so you can see, have I been missing something? Why? Because the Word of God is alive. It's living and breathing. And because it's living and breathing, every time I go to the Word, I always find a new treasure. I always find something that I didn't see before. And I ask the Lord, Lord, teach me, guide me, help me, okay? Thank you for this slide, guys. You can go ahead and take that off now. So I have some hard questions. How many people in this room, by a show of hands, read or listen to the Bible once per year? I'm going to raise my hand. You read or listen to the Bible once per year. All right, we're going to keep them up. Okay? What about once a month? All right, we still got hands up. We still got hands up. About once a week. Hey, we still got hands up. Awesome. What about once per day? Okay, still got hands up. All right, now this might be where I get most of you. What about those of you that read or listen to the Bible multiple times per day? Okay, I'm not faithful enough to do that, to keep my hand up. But you see where we can grow. You see how you can get closer to the Lord, right? Increase, right? If I was doing it once a year, awesome. Let's do it once a month. Let's do it once a week. Let's do it once a day. Then let's do it multiple times per day, right? Okay? Now, the other thing that I have to stress here, and I think it's important to call out, I'm not talking about Christian literature that has Bible verses mixed in there, so hopefully your hands were authentic. Those things are good, but I would encourage you, the Bible is first, and then those things come second. Are you with me? All right. So Christian literature, Bible study, preaching and teaching, those things are good, but they do not replace the study of the Word. All right. Now, for those of you that had your hands up almost the entire time, how's your life? Yeah, I heard it back there. Great. I love it. Do you find yourself anxious, angry, afraid, or confused? Here's the indicator. All the time. Wondering how to break free from those lies. Why? Because you have the tools that when you're anxious, what do you say to that anxious spirit? Shut up and get out of here. Get packing, right? What do you say to that angry spirit? The same thing, right? The only area that it's okay to be angry in is that area. Tell it to get lost because it's a spirit. It's not you. It's a spirit. And so because those things hit every one of us, if we're not in the Word of God, we now do not have the tools to react when it does. And here's something you need to know today, and this is biblical. I can give you scripture reference if you'd like to, but I was just thinking about it, so I don't have it in front of me. But did you know the Bible and the demons know scripture? Well, one of their favorite things to get the believer to do is not even do bad things. It's to be too busy to break out your Bible and study it. Because the greatest form of worship that you have towards anyone or anything is to get close and personal and study and ask questions and learn. So it's like if they can get you to do anything else other than take time to study the Word, like, man, you're lost. Now you're overcome with anxiety. Now you're overcome with fear and doubt, anger, all these things. You're acting out and you don't know why. Well, here's a great indicator. When was the last time that you read? And how were you then versus how you are now? Right? Some of this is new. Some of this to you is not new. I want to take a minute to look at our declaration that we share each time we get into the Word on Sundays. Notice that I didn't open up with it, but if you guys can pull up the declaration for me, you had it a minute ago. All right. My eyes are on Jesus. Are they? Oftentimes, we find that our eyes are, in fact, not on Jesus, but on our circumstance. When Pastor Chris talks about tithes and offering, we're like, checking Pastor Chris out to see, like, man, what's this dude wanting? You want my money? Yo. But if my eyes are on Jesus, and I see his great smile, and I see his peace, and I see his joy, well, those things flow to me, and my circumstances and my situation don't affect me because my eyes are fixed on him. And so no matter what happens, I'm content because I'm in Jesus. My eyes are focused on Jesus. Now, I'm literally meaning your eyes. I also understand that we could also be talking about the eyes of our heart, but I'm actually talking about our eyes. If you can't take a second to, whether you close your eyes or whether you can do it with your eyes open, and you see an image of Jesus, whether that's come to you in a dream before, or that's something that you think of and you see blue eyes or whatever it is that you see, if you can't fix your eyes on Jesus, get in your word, and I guarantee you'll get an image of Jesus and you'll be able to start fixing your eyes on him. Okay? Next one. My heart is tuned to his spirit. When I was praying about this, as we were putting these things together, and I don't want this to become one of those religious things or, you know, something that just kind of gets all weird, so that's not what it's for, and that's why occasionally I say it and occasionally I don't, because I want it to be real. I want it to be something that we focus on. So my heart is tuned. I'm a musical guy, and the immediate thought that came to this is when my heart is beating, gung, 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 whatever yours sounds like. And I see one of those little tuning triangles or tuning forks, whichever, you know, hits you. Or you can get really digital and weird. One of these guys have a tuner on their guitar. But when I play a certain note, does my heart match the tune? Well, if it doesn't, and I spend time in the Word, and I spend time in prayer, I begin to match the tune of my Master. I begin to sound like him. I begin to look like him. That will not happen if you're not spending time with him. Here's a great example of that. We've been talking about it. When Moses went up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, and he spent all that time with the Lord, receiving instruction and just spending time with him, when he came down, the word of God says that his face was radiant. And they had to put a veil on it because they couldn't stand to look at him. Not because he was ugly, but because it's like, whoa, dude, face of the sun right here. Can't do it. Veil that thing up. Instead of getting us sunglasses, we're going to give you sunglasses. Makes sense, right? But he came down changed. He came down different. So when you spend time in the Word, you should come away different. You should come away changed. And if you don't, so if you walk away from studying and you're more angry, there's a great chance that you were distracted while you were trying to study. Let me throw another one out there. Do you study just so the pastor or your friend says, hey, what'd you read today? And you have an answer? Now, I don't know if many of you do this for a Bible study or whatever. Do you study only so you can preach and teach? Or do you study because you want to? Do you study because it's what you crave? Had a great conversation with a lady this week, and she was sharing a testimony about her grandson, and she said, guess what he told me? He said, Grandma, I'm addicted to the Bible. I was like, praise the Lord, hallelujah. That is a good place to be. Be addicted to the Bible. Consume it. Eat it up. It's the best thing you're ever going to get. And it's going to help him live his life and go in the direction that he needs to go and to not get trapped up in the mess and the junk that is going on in our schools and in our world today. You need to be addicted to the Bible. Are you addicted to the Bible or are you addicted to something else? So I want to be tuned to his spirit. The word of God says that when we say, Lord, we want to follow you, we want to go in your ways. He said, here's the way. Come walk in it. If we're not tuned to him, we're not going to hear that voice of the Holy Spirit guiding us. And so the next one we see is, my ears are listening to his voice. Young man Samuel is in the temple, and he's serving the priest Eli, and Eli just got all messed up, and his sons are messed up. But one of the things that Eli was able to convey to the young man Samuel was that when you hear that voice, say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. God, when you speak, because I know that you always speak, you never stop speaking, it's me that gets it wrong. God, not only do I want to hear you, but when you speak, I will listen. That means obedience, not just hearing what he says. Oh, I hear a noise. No, it's I hear direction. I hear instruction, and I choose to listen to that instruction. That means it's going to require obedience on my part. Amen? It also means discerning. Hey, whose voice am I listening to? Am I listening to my voice? Am I listening to the voice of the enemy that's kind of chalked with some truth, but overall it's not lining up with the Bible? Well, the only way I'm going to know that is if I study the Bible and I know what the Word of God sounds like. And then I'm like, hey, that's not it, right? The enemy is a counterfeiter, so he wants to try to take what God says and reframe it his way. So that it sounds like, oh, that sounds good. Well, hold on a second. It's a little stinky. That's wrong. Okay. Next up, my mind will believe what he says. Here is where almost all of us get trapped. I see what it says. I've read what it says. I've sung what it says. But your actions don't line up because you don't truly believe it. Someone said, faith is the currency of the kingdom. And that's why we need to be around people who are full of it. I want to be around people who are full of faith, who are on fire. They might even be a little bit crazy, but I would rather be around people that are a little bit crazy and on fire for Jesus than the ones who are lukewarm and dead. Why? Because the Word of God says the ones who are lukewarm get spit out. I personally don't want to be spit out. Not something that I want, right? Doesn't sound awesome. Any of you that have little children, you know exactly what I mean. We'll leave it at that. Do not want to be spit out. And so I want to be on fire. And I want to be around people who are on fire. And I want my mind to believe what he says. And so we declare this because we're being like King David that encouraged his spirit. My soul will magnify the Lord. What if my soul doesn't want to magnify the Lord? I don't really care. My soul is going to magnify the Lord because the Lord is worthy of magnification. The Lord is worthy of praise. The Lord is worthy of honor. So I tell my soul what it does. It does not tell me what to do. When thoughts come my way that are contrary to Scripture, I tell my mind, we're not thinking on that. That doesn't line up with Scripture. That does not align up with what you've been taught. I cast it out in Jesus' name, and I will focus on what the Word of God says. I am chosen. I am loved. I am seen. I am heard. I am cared for by my Father. Like Jeremy said, do we believe that he clothes the flowers of the field and that he will take care of us? That he takes care and he sees the little sparrow and he feeds us. I wasn't looking at Kai as the little sparrow, but little sparrow, he's got you. But do we believe it? Or do we just say it? Y'all know that I'm ornery, so I'm just going to go here and hopefully you still love me. I have been impressed more and more and more and more by the power and the Spirit of God that this church will see, will operate in miracles, signs, wonders, and healings. And so the natural response is, well, I ain't seen that in this place. Well, good for you because you're about to. Stick around for a minute. Extend your faith. The doctor said, well, I don't care what the doctor said. Another one that I was thinking of that someone said, he said, hey, when Jesus was healing people, and it was using this terminology, so I want to stress this. It said when people were healed, guess what happened to them? Both the physical and the spiritual side of that person was healed. So what came out were demons, and what it went in was the life and power of Jesus Christ. Most people only ascribe healing to something I can see and touch and observe with my own eyes or my ears. Most deliverance ministries want to counsel and say, hey, demon, tell me what your name is. How long have you been there? What's your job? What's your, you know, and we get twisted. I don't care about any of that stuff. I just care that you're free. I can see that you're not, and so I'm going to pray that you do get free because that's what was modeled for us by Jesus. Did he counsel them? No. He said, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in his name, right? Be free. Come alive. Wake up. If you're dead, hopefully none of us in here are dead. But get up. Oh, and by the way, Jesus always knows. He was like, oh, and they're hungry. Give them something to eat. How awesome is that? They are hungry. Give them something to eat. And so my mind will believe that when he says people can be healed 100%, sozo, spirit, soul, body, I believe him. And I don't need anybody else to convince me, well, you ought to take this little step program and you got to take this medication each and every day and it's going to taste like hot garbage and give you about a dozen symptoms, but it's good for you. I call that the lie, and I choose to believe what Jesus said. It's not a popular stance, I get it, but that's just me. So I'm going to believe what he says. And then finally, my voice will declare the truth of his word. It's not enough for all these things to line up and for my mind to line up. I have to actually voice it. The kingdom of God is voice activated. It's so hilarious hearing my kids, hey Siri, or hey Google, do this. Christy was telling me a story last night where this little girl was like, hey Google, where's my mom at? And Google was like, your mother, what's your mother's name? And she's like, mom. And is like, I'm not seeing mom or mommy in your address book. But, you know, please get help or something like that. It's like, whoa, you know, you don't often think about this, but the kids are listening and they're like, yo, Google, where's mom at? You know, I need help. Well, you don't have to do that. God knows where you're at and he's always present. He's always with you. Hey, God, where are you at? Right here. Hey, God, can you hear me? Yep. Hey, God, do you see what I'm going through? Yep, I've been here the entire time. Hey, God, do you have this under control? Totally. Will you let me take charge? It reminds me of the moment GPSs kind of became a big thing. All the men were like, I know exactly where I'm going. Well, the GPS says otherwise. It's recalculated no less than a dozen times. I don't know that you know where you're going. Do we listen? Or we try to do it our way? What happens if there's a better way? One of the things I found that was interesting, we went to church camp last weekend. And a place that I've driven a ton, I'm sure Jeremy the same way, a ton, looks a little bit different like 10 to 12 years later and in pitch black darkness, right? Are you with me? And so where we thought we were going was not actually where we were going. We were in the right location, just about, I don't know, 5 to 10 minutes north. And then we switched up the GPS and it was like, turn around. All right, let's see. Turn left, all right, we're going this way now. Turn left again, all right. Well, what do you know? We drove about the same distance inward. We were just in the wrong spot. It didn't exist on the other map. It existed on the new map, the one that got updates, the one that had a better route, the one that, you know, was connected, right? Are you connected to the source? Are you getting updates directly from him? Or are you working on old knowledge, old directions, the old way? What happens if that road was bulldozed to make way for a better road? A safer road. Now, if I remember right, at least the main road was lit up, so we were able to get back into the light. So that'll preach to somebody, good Lord. We got back into the light so we could see where we were going and what we were doing. And then we found our destination. We were able to go exactly where we needed to be. Another situation, we were driving, what was that? Friday. And I found a new direction, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, why did it take me around this way? So I'm going south, and it takes me through Turner Falls area. But then I get back on the highway and I pass a few cars that I passed already. And I'm like, you know, I'm having one of those moments of like, what just happened? I took a detour, but I went back on the same road. And then my buddy called me about, I don't know, 5-10 minutes later. He said, hey, just so you know, you don't want to stay on the main road. You want to take a detour because the main road's backed up. And I was like, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Jesus was working in the Google Maps, right? I was able to get there on time. I didn't know why I was getting off the road. I thought it was weird and funny, but I was led, and I ended up arriving at my destination. I ended up arriving not only on time, but I made better time, and we were able to eat and do all this other stuff. What would it have been like if I said, you know what? This isn't the way that we're supposed to go. I've done this before. I'm going to go my way. Come on. Not many amens in this room. I get it. I got it. Press the button. I'm with you. But it doesn't mean that it's not the right thing. How many times do we try to do it our own way? This is applicable because we're becoming a new thing. I don't know how many of you have been in a ministry training center all your life. I haven't. And so there's going to be some new things we have to do, and some of the old ways won't work. And if they work, it'll take twice as long. And God has said at the beginning of the year, he wants to propel us. Well, in order to receive acceleration, we have to have a different type of engine. We might even have to have a different type of fuel source. And so we're allowing the Lord to drive us with the instruments and with the navigation and with the acceleration that he has chosen, or are we going to tell him every step of the way, God, there's a better way. I've done it before. I don't know about you, but I don't want to tell God that there's a better way. I won't be saying this. So just so you know, I'm going to be saying yes to the Lord. The other thing that that looks like is, and I was thinking about this earlier today because we've talked about it, and none of this was in my notes, by the way. So, but in times of silence, I really get frustrated by this. So let me just unpack this a little bit. A lot of people have kind of processed this, and there's different guys like St. Francis Assisi, I think, is one of the guys that has said it. But they talk about the dark night of the soul and how everyone's always going to go through this time of quiet, this time where it's just seemingly like God's not speaking and you know, you're basically phoning home, but you're not getting anything on the other end. And I kind of think it's baloney, personally, because what I've heard the Lord say to me most recently in relation to this is he said, Chris, I haven't stopped speaking, but as you mature and you grow and you know what my voice sounds like, you know what my instructions look like, you know the way that I would do things because you're starting to look and sound like me. Why do I have to tell you every little thing? Do the last thing I told you to do. Be obedient. And I believe he'll come in for correction. I believe he'll come in for guidance. But he's wanting to see, just as a father does, you know, I've taken Isaiah and the other boys as well. When I teach them something, I want them to do it. And I'm not sitting there hovering over him and saying, all right, do this, now do that, do that. They've already got that. Are you with me? They've already received the instruction. They've already received the plans, the blueprints. And I have to entrust him to do what I've taught him, to read the blueprints and to do what it says. God's given us a wonderful, beautiful set of blueprints for every aspect of our life. How often do we look at it and just simply do what it says? Or are we trying to say, God, I need a fresh revelation. I need a new dream. I need a new vision. I need a new word. I need someone to come tell me what your word says. You say, stop. My spirit lives in you, and you have my words. When was the last time you took a second to do what I said? Are we opening up his word? Are we spending time with him? Are we asking him to teach us and guide us? The last thing I want to share today, and we'll continue this next week, I want to jump to John chapter 6, verse 68 and 69. I felt like this encapsulated this whole message for me. I just loved it. When I thought of craving, when I thought of being satisfied, I thought about what Simon Peter said to Jesus in John chapter 6, verses 68 and 69. It says, he answered to the Lord, because Jesus said, do you guys want to go now? Are you done? Is this too much? Is this too overwhelming? And Peter answered. This is before Peter was dwelled with the Holy Spirit. But he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Do you find yourself in the situation that Peter found himself? I've encountered a person that is so mighty, that is so great, that has words that literally drip eternal life. They bring life to me. They transform me. And then I've allowed myself to believe what he says, and therefore knowledge has now dropped into my spirit. You are the Holy One of God. I can't go anywhere else. I don't want to go anywhere else. Are you in this situation? Have you found the one that brings life to your soul? Are you listening to his voice? Are you believing what he says? Are your eyes fixed on him each and every second of the day? And then do you know that when you mess up, when you make a mistake, that in him there is hope and there is life and there's forgiveness? He will restore you. Amen. I feel led today to have everybody stand in this place. We have a worship song that I want to have the worship team lead us in. It's so hard to describe some of the things that I feel sometimes, because many of you that know me know that I don't have a background in this. And so I don't have oftentimes language for some of the things that I feel and experience, because I'm experiencing or feeling them for the first time. And see, this is how God works. And so the best way I can describe it is with the lyrics of a song that says, your love is an ocean and we're all sinking. Your love is like an ocean and we're all sinking. And that may sound like danger to many of us. Like, oh no, I don't want to drown. That's like all my worst fears, you know? Right? Don't think about it that way. Think about it as like you've been given the ability to breathe underwater. And the only stipulation that the Lord has for you is that you would allow yourself to be completely submerged in that water that is his love. And most of us get too, you know, squeamish. We're like, this is too much lovey-dovey. I'm not into this. Well, he is. And remember, you want to be changed to be like him, to be used by him, to be loved by him. And so his love is that ocean, and we're all sinking in it. And when we enter into times of worship like we're doing right now, we allow our hearts to be just completely wide open and exposed, and we say, like Candace was saying earlier, God, would you do surgery on the inside of me? Would you cut out all the junk, all the mess that has taken my time and my attention away from you? Because I want to be refocused. I want to be recentered on the one true God. I want to be recentered on Jesus and what it is that he's done for me. And for those of you that maybe don't know Jesus, I want to provide an opportunity for you to come forward and let us pray for you. That today you can know him. You can know him as Lord and Master. And you can have a certainty that when you breathe your last breath, you will be instantaneously with him in eternity. If that's you in this place, I invite you to come forward right now. Let us pray with you. If you want to refocus or rededicate your life to him, I also encourage you to come up. There's never anything wrong with that. The other thing I would say on this topic that I've been thinking a lot about lately, because I've had a few people ask me, is if you are in these boats but you also want to be baptized, come talk to me. We want to baptize you. All right. Now, now I want to make room. So all eyes, hearts, ears, minds are in him. I want to pray and I want to take a moment in worship with this song to listen to what it says. Does it have your favorite tune? Does it have your favorite lyric? Is it written by your favorite artist? Probably not. But if we can listen to what the words say and allow the Lord to penetrate our heart and cut out that mess, then I promise you'll leave different. So Lord Jesus, we give you this time. We ask that you seal the study of this word. We'll know that we will continue it. But Lord, we ask you to seal it by your Spirit. Quicken it in our hearts and minds so that it will come to our remembrance when we need it most. God, I thank you that you're always speaking to us. You're always teaching us. And Lord, we know that your word, like, it's the best thing that we can consume. It's the best thing that we can crave because it draws us near to you, Lord God. And we want to be near to you. So Lord, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice today has a close, personal, direct relationship with you, Jesus. That they've learned what it means to abide in you. That when we are weak, we draw from your strength and we are now strong. When we lack knowledge, Lord God, we hear from the mind of God that has all knowledge and all wisdom. And Lord, you impart that unto us. Then when we are weak in our body, Lord Jesus, and sickness has come against us, that we can choose not to align with it, but we can align with the lifeblood of heaven. That there is no illness in your body, there is no infirmity in you, and we can operate in that same strength, health, and vitality. Lord, let faith arise in this place. Help us to be bold. Help us to remember. Help us to be like the early church. They didn't struggle with this. Why? Because they were filled with the truth and with power. Lord, help us to return to that. Your truth, Lord God, and your power living and moving and breathing in each and every one of us. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you have planned for us this week. I thank you that we're going to walk it out with you, choosing, starting right now, all of us in this room, going in one direction, in unison, following the voice of the Master, because you said, your sheep hear your voice, and they will not listen to another. So Lord, forgive us for not listening to your voice, and help us to fall in line with you. In Jesus' name, let's worship.
Till it was. So I will trust your timing, I will rest secure. Oh, this is a steady kind of love. Yes, it is. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us, you're here with me. The wonderful Counselor, God. Amen.
Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears will listen to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. Jesus, I thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word, Lord God. By your Holy Spirit, help us to read it and help us to spend time with you more and more and more, Lord Jesus. That we would come to know all of your names, Lord Jesus. And you would bring those names to remembrance when we are in times of trouble. That we would remember that you are the strong and mighty warrior. That you are the Lord of heaven's armies, the Lord of hosts. And we would not fear, but we would take heart knowing that you have it under control. Lord, we thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. We don't need to lack anything because you will always provide. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for being with us. Lord, we praise your name. Amen. You guys are not dismissed. You are sent today. Go do what God has led you to do. If you'd like to linger, please feel free to linger, but we love you. In Jesus' name.